Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, a Foxaloner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
All right. Welcome to a very special episode of the SIC Sports Injury Central podcast, Pro Football Doc podcast. Very, very special guest. I've been wanting to get him on for a long time, many years. We've been Twitter pals, I guess, never really fully spoken. The great Jason LaConfora. Welcome to the show.
What's going on, Doc?
I'm doing well out here in San Diego. And, you know, the Chargers are now what? Baltimore West?
They are.
Ravens West?
Absolutely.
What do you think about that? You're in Baltimore.
Well, they've had a lot of success here in Baltimore. And obviously, Jim Harbaugh's had a lot of success at the collegiate level and the NFL level. And when he hasn't been in the NFL level, he's spent a decent amount of time in Baltimore. And he's been around here on, you know, bye weeks when he was at Michigan. He's been around here, you know, when the team wasn't practicing, been around here in the building during the playoffs when his college season was over. Obviously, the Harbaugh parents are here quite a bit. So that family, you know, that sort of that whole Harbaugh family vibe, it's very real and very prevalent here. So when Jim Harbaugh finally got back in the NFL, it was the least surprising thing in the world that he would lean into a lot of sort of the infrastructure and the people who were involved in John's success. And they like a lot of the same players. They don't have, you know, uniformly symbiotic views about the NFL, but they certainly share a lot of common core beliefs and tenets that were instilled by their dad. So, yeah, I'm not surprised in the least that, you know, their head of analytics came from Baltimore and their general manager came from Baltimore and their offensive coordinator. Now, again, and here's the other thing, too, like Greg Roman. I mean, Greg Roman was a Jim Harbaugh guy before he was a John Harbaugh guy. So, you know what I mean? Is that really like who robbed who first? But yeah, Roman's going to run the run game and they're going to get, some offensive linemen and some backs who are familiar with that. So yeah, it's not very surprising at all, to be honest with you. And I think they're going to have a lot of success out there.
Yeah, so I know Jim Harbaugh pretty well. Love him. I don't know John Harbaugh at all. I hear through the grapevine he's not in love with the injury analysis, what I say from other reporters, but that's not surprising. But
right.
I think maybe because I know Jim pretty well and I don't know John at all, I think they're obviously brothers and great and the same family values, but I think they're very, very different. What's your comparison and contrast, similarities, differences between the two?
Well, I think they both were obviously raised the same way. And I think they both carry some of their parents' characteristics and quirks. They probably manifest themselves a little bit differently. Both have a temper that can be extreme. I think John can sort of neuter some things a little more than Jim can at times. I think some of the extremes you get from Jim might be a little less with John. Both have a very sort of unique way of getting their messaging across, how they talk to players. They both parrot a lot of sort of their dad's old sayings, but they might do it with a little different delivery. But there's a lot of similarities there. I mean, there just are. I mean, you look at, you know, again, staff, coaches, players who have gone between the two, that they like a lot of the same things. I mean, even like Mike McDonald, I mean, that's like, you know what I mean? Like, he's going to be a young guy. Harbaugh, John finds him first. John puts him up the ranks. Jim takes him over the top as his defensive coordinator. John brings him back as a defensive coordinator. 2 years later, he's a head coach. You know, like, I think, like, that might be sort of the epitome of how they shuttle these guys and toggle them back and forth. And then ultimately prepare a lot of them to have, potentially very successful careers on their own. So, look, they play each other this year, right? The schedule comes out in a few weeks, you know, around here in Baltimore. That'll be one of the more interesting games.
All right. So you speak about the toggle between the two. How's the toggle at running back with Dobbins and Edwards to the Chargers? How's that going to work out? They got juice in the tank still?
Yeah. I think last year it became a little clear that, you know, the days of Gus Edwards averaging 5.5 a carry and getting some of the workload he got in the past, like, that wasn't really in the cards. He became, you know, a little bit more of a defined role in terms of what he did finishing drives, what he did short yardage, what he did around the goal line. And Dobbins obviously, you know, got hurt week one. He didn't play. But there was sort of a different division and labor of their running back room last year, with Keaton Mitchell being a real bolt of electricity until, unfortunately, his season was cut short. And then Justice Hill really kind of became a little bit more of the bell cow. But, like, there was a time under Greg Roman, who obviously wasn't running the offense in Baltimore last year, where, you know, they had the most dynamic run game in the NFL. And, yes, Lamar Jackson's singular brilliance had a lot to do with it. But, you know, we called him Mr. Inside and Mr. Outside. And not that you couldn't run Dobbins between the tackles, and not that you couldn't run pitch plays and outside zone for Gus, because you could, and they would mix it up. But they could get into a real lather there where Gus is just plowing people up the middle and Dobbins is gashing them on the outside. So, you know, their talents blend very well. Now, there are a couple things that we kept waiting for that never happened. One was the emergence of a screen game. You know, Dobbins never, I don't think he ever caught more than three balls in a game. Like, I don't think, I mean, I have to go back and look at the numbers, but, like, we looked at his targets and it's like, it's an abomination that this guy is not being used at all in the passing game. Like, it was really ridiculous. I don't think he ever had more than 15 or 16 touches in a game. Like, he was ready to take over for Mark Ingram five games into his rookie year, and they didn't really make that handoff until about 10 games in. And then they got him hurt in a preseason game the following year. And then he came back and had a setback and had to get another cleanup. And then he came out and looked like he was finally shot out of a rocket. And he was begging for carries then, and including in a playoff game against Cincinnati that they had no business even being in without Lamar Jackson. And had they put the ball in Dobbins' hands more, I think they could have won that game. And then he obviously gets hurt again in week one. So there's a lot of we'll never know what could have been. But, you know, they never leaned into the horizontal passing game. Like, he could be Dobbins. And actually, you know, Gus caught some balls more than we thought last year, again, because of injuries to Keaton Mitchell, et cetera. But, like, I don't think we ever saw anything close to sort of the full complement of what these two could do together. And then the way they've upgraded the offensive line, like, yeah, they're going to run the ball. Like, the scheme will be a problem. People don't see it that often. It's going to be a shock to the system, to defensive coordinators in that division now, how they're going to have to defend the Chargers. And then obviously, you know, if you put too many people in the box, we know what the quarterback can do. So they're a fascinating team to me. And I think they will be a super productive team running the ball. And I'll be really interested to see, you know, Giro talks about his vault. We used to give him a little bit of a hard time because he'd talk about all the stuff he had in the vault. And we're like, well, why don't you spend a little more time in that vault? Why don't you take your horizontal pass plays and your screen game? Why don't you pull it out of the vault? And then why don't you actually throw the football to J.K. Dobbins? So we'll see if that happens now.
Well, as I said, I love Jim Harbaugh. Don't know John, but I have to respect him a lot because historically, over the last couple of years, Baltimore has been the outlier for us. We do six scores, team health scores, offense, defense.
Yep.
And Baltimore, the Ravens have had their share of injuries. And our stats are pretty good when a healthier team plays an unhealthy team. But Baltimore has been the spoiler in that ointment for us. And that probably, I have to say, is a credit to the coaching staff and obviously personnel behind. So I have to give John Harbaugh that shout out. All right, so the draft just concluded. The biggest surprise for everyone probably was at number 8, Michael Penix. We said Michael Penix health is okay. How surprised were you? And do you think the Falcons, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being handling it very well and 1 being completely botching it, what are your thoughts and takes on that?
Well, first of all, it wasn't the biggest surprise for me.
Okay.
I had in my mock draft the Washington Post at this, and I didn't think it was going to be Dallas Turner. I said, if they don't take the top defensive player on their board, who I think was Latu, then they will take Michael Penix. And they took Michael. So
I missed that. Surprised. You're clairvoyant. So not
no,
a
surprise. Well, every dog has his day. So, no, I know they did a lot of work on him, and I know they liked him a lot. You know, would they have the balls to actually do it at the end was sort of the lingering question around personnel guys who I talked to who knew pretty certain that they liked him a ton. What surprised me the most is the Giants not taking a quarterback. That blows my mind. Like, you know, you've been in this business a long time and you got a coach and a GM who are under heat and they're in a big market and they've got a quarterback who they inherited, who they tried to prop up, who isn't very good, and he's beat up. And the coach is a quarterback guru. And you got a chance to buy yourself a little bit more time, right, and start the development of the next phase. And you're in a generational quarterback draft where 6 go in the top 12, and you sit it out, boy, brother, you better be right about Daniel Jones. Like, you better do something special with Daniel Jones, or you're all getting fired. So that surprised me. I like the Penix pick. I don't like it under the circumstances. I mean, how could you? I don't know. You know, you're sitting at 8. They're 4 and 5, 3. There are a lot of teams willing to listen. Like, if you had that much conviction in Penix, who, let's face it, is 24, and despite them saying he could sit for 4 or 5 years, that's ridiculous. Like, he's not some 20-year-old kid. Like, he's played a lot in college. He's been seasoned. He played at the highest levels. He succeeded. The injuries are in the past. There's no lingering current injury that's going to set him back. Like, the spending $100 million on Cousins beforehand, that's just silly to me. Doesn't mean it's the end of the world. Doesn't mean that a year from now, you know, they've already traded Cousins somewhere else. and Penix is the starter. But especially considering Cousins coming off the Achilles, if I'm a Falcons fan, I'm not giving them the benefit of the doubt because they've systematically butchered that position since giving Matt Ryan his last extension there and then waiting too long to trade him. And then, we could just go through the litany, all the quarterbacks they passed on. Like, I'm not saying Justin Fields would have been the end of the world, but I'd have rather seen him on that turf in that backfield than Spencer Rattler. You know what I mean? The Mariota signing, the pretending that Lamar Jackson was never available to talk to. It's been nuts. But maybe they got it right with Penix.
We covered a lot there. So the Penix you were onto a little bit, and you're right about the health of the knee. They're not taking Latu was interesting to us because we've said that Latu is 100% fine today. And Chris Ballard is probably right. He's the best freaking pass rusher in the draft.
Yes.
He is until he isn't, because he's already had one neck fusion and a second one will put him out of the league. So will that happen in year one or year seven? Don't know. But, that's why he was available at 15. And maybe that had to do with Atlanta passing on him a little bit. But to each his own. Everyone has a risk tolerance. Yeah. Different. Doctors' evaluations are different, like GM evaluations. So we're not hating on the Latu pick. We compared him to Van Der Esch, except Van Der Esch coming out of Boise State never had his first fusion until with the Cowboys, and the second one knocked him out of his career. Latu already has that first strike. And you make an interesting point about the Giants. The Giants brass, their coach and GM, Daniel Jones wasn't their guy, but he is now, right?
Oh, yeah. There's no
he is now.
There's no, well, we got this behind door number two, or – well, we wanted to give him, because of all the injuries, half a season. But once we're 2-6, it's all about the future. That they robbed themselves of that opportunity to take a wide receiver. I don't know, man. They baffled me for a while. And that really, and if J.J. McCarthy does what I think he's going to do in Minnesota, which is, I'm not saying set the world on fire, but he'll show right away he can play in the league. I just don't know how that's going to fly for the Giants.
How many of these six quarterbacks drafted in the first round will, I don't know, how do you want to say it, be a starter in 2 years or still be with the same team for a second contract?
Not many, right? History would say maybe half. I mean,
half at best, right?
Right. It's not just who the kid is. It's where he goes and who he's surrounded with. And, is the owner a tempestuous idiot like Tepper? You know what I mean? Or does he actually know what he's doing? It really it takes a village. And a lot of these villages have more than one village idiot, but they don't have a whole lot of adults in the room who actually know how to do this. So
how much,
I don't know, Doc. I like the situation for Minnesota for a lot of obvious reasons.
How much of all these quarterbacks going really high, and we've had several drafts of quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3 in the whole deal, all at the top. And I think if you look back, perhaps the best quarterback draft ever, I was in the Chargers draft room for, where, there was Eli at 1, Rivers at 4, then flipped, and Roethlisberger at 11. But that was 1-4-11, and they're all have been great. How much does the rookie wage scale and winning on a discounted quarterback tilt all these quarterbacks up a lot higher? Or is it just that the quarterback position is that important that we see often 1, 2, 3 quarterbacks being drafted again and again, even though the hit rate is less than 50%?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. They're more seasoned now. They get to move. They have mobility, so they can play in different systems, right? You can see what they look like with different coaches. They're making some money, so some of them, rather than come out early and find out if I could be a fifth-round pick who makes a team, I might stay an extra year, become a third-round pick, right? I have the chance to continue to ply my trade at the college level, and I'm doing it as an older player. And I think we're getting out of the remnants of what the pandemic did on player evaluations, but you had kids getting extra years that way. I think it's that you've had so many have come in and have immediate success. Like some of it planned, like Stroud, some of it not, like Purdy. But the fact is, like, that gets people's attention. And the fact, I think, that we've had this baton handed from Tom Brady's dynasty to Patrick Mahomes, it's like, if that's what we have to get through more times than not to win it once, could our guy at least go toe-to-toe with Mahomes? And if we get to the championship game four times, could he beat him once or twice? Like, in the AFC, that's literally the standard. Like, that's it. Like, it's what it is. Andy Reid signed a contract extension. They're not going anywhere. Like, they've done it different ways now, right? They now they're running the ball a little bit more, too. Like, how are we going to beat that? And so if that's the standard and you think your guy, you know, taps out as the 14th best quarterback in the league, the 12th best, the 10th best, is that going to be enough? You know, like, it's probably not. And then it's also what I just talked about a minute ago. You know, when I'm putting a mock draft together, I'm evaluating the evaluators more than I'm evaluating the players. Like, what's going on in that building? Like, you know, like, do I need to throw a Hail Mary to try to save my job and all my buddies' job and get us a couple more years towards our pension? You know, like, what is it, like, where am I in the cover my ass meter between 1 to 10? You know, where, like, because that, like, that's how boards get shifted. That's how, and you want to sell hope. You want to sell tickets. You want to sell, you know, the future. Well, then who's your quarterback? And if you can't sell the quarterback, you can't sell any of those things. So I think it has a lot to do with, you know, with all those factors. And yeah, if they're staying in school longer and they're, you know, playing under a couple different people and they're seeing some different systems, you know, it's a bigger sample size. There's a chance for Spencer Rattler to change the narratives on him three times, probably in his college career. Like, you know, he probably literally changed his narrative for better or worse three times. You know, Penix certainly did it a couple of times. Bo Nix, maybe three times for him too. Like, that's uncharted territory.
All right, so switching gears a little bit, you were the national guy at CBS for a long time. I don't know how much you saw, but rate the jobs that Nick Saban versus Bill Belichick did in their commentary and their role as analysts. What do you think about that?
I got to be honest. I saw more Belichick than Saban, just like through my whatever viewing habits or who I had on at any given time. Look, they're very similar guys. Like, we started off talking about the Harbaugh brothers. These guys aren't brothers, but they're kind of football savant brothers. Like, their personalities are similar. The prisms through which they see the world, I think, are pretty similar. The prisms through which they see players, right, which is going to matter when you're talking about, you know, a draft coverage and evaluating 250-some players or whatever. So I think they'll both be really good. They both have sides of their personality that they are when they're in their coaching roles, they are very averse to showing to the media. But now that they're in the media, they're going to show them, and it's going to surprise people for a while. And then you're going to realize, like, okay, like, this is just something that clearly they systematically suppressed for decades while they were coaching. But, like, you know, it's there. They can tell stories. They have a sense of humor. They can be self-deprecating. Like, I think they'll both be great. I'm interested in the Belichick part of it because he clearly wants to still coach. And so sometimes that can color, like, when a guy still has, like, he's doing this. It's a difference, I think, between doing this to raise, to stay in the, like, to keep your profile high, to show, like, to basically, when I'm on camera, I'm interviewing with owners for a future job. That's very different than Saban, who's closed that door. So there's going to be, I think, some things that Belichick's not going to want to talk about. Some criticisms he's not going to make. Like, I think he's going to bite his tongue and be far less scathing, especially about the horseshit teams and owners, right? Because that's who's going to be calling him. So I do think there'll be a, like, and I know what he thinks of a lot of these people. And I know people who are really close to him. And I know that he knows the rot starts at the top. But he's also, if he wants to catch Shula, he's got to get one of these billionaire bobos to hire him. So, like, Whereas Saban, like Saban's been saying whatever the hell he wants to say. Like, it's over. You know what I mean? He's done it all. Yeah. He's not getting back in. Like, he doesn't have to worry about tiptoeing through the tulips. He won't have his, you know, his agent on the phone like, hey, man, you know, when they ask you about this team, be careful. Because I hear there's people in the building, you know what I mean, who want you or whatever. Like, I just, you know, how much that stuff comes up or whatever. But as someone who's sort of in the weeds with this stuff, that's what I'll be interested to see. Like, I'll be interested to see if he's willing to be – like, I think I'll be pretty critical of, like, that scheme is a joke. You know what I mean? Like, that coach maybe, you know, isn't handling this the way he should. But I'll be interested to see what he says about GMs and owners.
That's a good point. He's not interested dealing with that. In him showing his personality, as you know – he's actually a pretty funny and sarcastic guy.
Absolutely.
He just never shows it.
And, no, he doesn't want you to see that, but now he will. Like, he's very smart, and he knows how to succeed in the NFL, and he knows what people want to hear and what they don't want to hear.
I don't know if you heard this story, but I had David Binn, our Chargers longtime long snapper on our podcast. He told the story, and I was there for it, so I heard it, but he told it on this podcast of Belichick being the head coach of the Pro Bowl, Ben being invited to the Pro Bowl because, you know, the long snappers are picked by the head coaches. And at the time, he was, quote, dating Pamela Anderson, and Bill goes up to him during practice and says, "Where's your girlfriend?" He goes, "Ah, she's not making it. She's this, that, the other." And he goes right to, "Remind me why the F we invited you here again."
Yeah.
That's like, you know, those stories you hear, they're legendary, in his team meetings and his biting sarcasm. So rank them in the end, at the end of next season, in terms of TV, the job they do for TV, three goats: Saban, Belichick, Brady. How does it come out?
Well, I think Belichick will look, I don't. Saban's going to be more college than pro, right? So I don't know. Like, I think Belichick will be the breakout star. I think Belichick with the Mannings, like, he's going to feel very comfortable there. They're going to have dialogue through the week. Like, I just think he'll be put in positions to succeed. Like, Tom Brady's going to be great at anything, but I do think there'll be an adjustment period. Like, going straight into the booth, like, I don't know, man. Like, what doesn't he succeed at that he puts his mind to? So I don't know that, you know, and I'm sure in the college ranks, Saban will be a rock star. I think they'll all probably get rave reviews. I'm interested to see how long Tom Brady does this. This is not what I thought he would do. I'm a little surprised by it. I thought he would be like, doing more with Peyton Manning's doing, which is, I'm going to start my own thing. I'm going to start my own production company, and we're going to make documentaries, and I'm going to make movies with my buddies, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. You know, like, I thought it would be more like all-encompassing, like Brady takes over Hollywood and there's a sports element to it. You know, the chemistry with the partner, all that stuff. Man, I think Brady's going to be under the biggest microscope. You know, what Greg Olson had done there was pretty impressive. So I think he'll probably be the and you know, there'll be a fair amount of pushback for him and Belichick, I guess, because of Spygate and all the other controversies that went on during the Patriots dynasty.
I noticed absent in your Brady chatter was him returning to play.
Well, that's the other thing, too. I don't know how long it's going to be. I don't know how much he's going to love it. I'm kind of surprised that's what he did. But one thing it's going to do is it's going to keep him in all these production meetings. It's going to keep him around these coaches and coordinators. It's going to keep him in these buildings, right? And I think the way his mind works, he's going to be thinking like, man, if this team lost their starter 4 weeks from now, how quickly could I come in? You know what I mean? How quickly could I come in and get them, like, and take them to the promised land? Like, at some point, that fire will extinguish. I'm not thoroughly convinced it's extinguished now. And I do wonder if the nature of that job relights the fire even more, because he'll be so close to it. He's not in a studio. Like, he's not, you know, 3,000 miles away from the game he's talking about or whatever. Like, he's in the booth. He's at the game. He's on the field before the game. He's at the practice on Saturday. He's in the building for production meetings on Friday. Like, he's going to be so close to it. And he's going to see how, man, like, if these guys just had X, Y, and Z, they'd be there. Or, man, if I was in that building, you know what I mean? And I schemed it up with that coordinator through the week, this offense would be totally different. Like, I don't know how he's going to flick that switch off. And so that might lead to this being, you know, even short, you know, shorter than the others.
Yeah, interesting. All right, I kept you longer than I said. Any other, you had a great take there on Atlanta and Penix. What other surprise takes or other things that you're thinking about for this upcoming NFL season that might be interesting?
Well, to me, if you want a hot take or whatever, if Brock Purdy regresses, if Brock Purdy gets hurt, if Brock Purdy plays well, but those guys knowing him like they do feel like he can't pay Brock Purdy $50 million a year. I'm not 1,000% convinced that the bromance between Kyle Shanahan and Kirk Cousins doesn't have a 2.0 before Kirk Cousins is done playing football. Like, I do wonder about that. Because for Cousins being hurt and Atlanta being able to get Cousins the way they got Cousins, like, if the Purdy thing doesn't materialize, Kirk Cousins is in San Francisco right now. Like, there's no doubt in my mind. Like, if he could have rented Kirk Cousins for 2 years, $40 million a year, he'd have done it in a split second. Why didn't he do it? Well, because this Brock Purdy thing is going on. But, like,
I think you're onto something there, Jason, and here's why. Brock Purdy obviously has done very well so far, right? But remember when the rumors came out that the 49ers reached out to Phillip Rivers?
Didn't they reach out to Tom Brady a couple times too, recently?
But I mistakenly thought, and Phillip came on the podcast here, I don't know, 4 or 6 weeks ago, and I mistakenly thought it was when Brock Purdy injured his elbow against Philadelphia, the calls are going out, if they make it to the Super Bowl, can he come in? He said no, he wouldn't have done that. The calls came to him earlier in the season when Jimmy G and Trey Lance, et cetera, were hurt. Brock Purdy was about to play. So it was a lack of full confidence in Brock Purdy that led to the phone call to Phillip Rivers. But then the Brock Purdy thing kind of worked out. And so I don't think it's impossible if Purdy, you know, goes a different direction, what you're saying there. I kind of find that interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. You know, we'll see. Like, does Trent Williams play all year? Like, if he doesn't, then I got news for you. Brock Purdy ain't going to look like he did at his best previously. Like, I'm not saying the kid can't play, but, like, they're going to have to make some cold, hard evaluations. And the bottom line is, like, if you're doing – and there is no fifth-year option, right? So that's coming to a head. So even if you just think he's plateaued or you think he's really good in your system – but not super special, and you at that point you could rent Kirk Cousins for 1 year or give Brock Purdy $250 million. I don't know.
That's interesting. All right, thank you very much, Jason. Anything else you want to talk about before you sign off or push? I know you're busy. You got
You can find me handicapping games at Sportsline. I've got one more column to do for the Washington Post for this season. It will be on next year's quarterback class, though. So I'm working on that, and then hopefully be back to writing football for them in training camp. I'm doing other stuff for other people, but yeah. Oh, you can catch me on the radio in Baltimore 2-6. You can catch me nationally on Odyssey. You catch me on my podcast with Brian Baldinger in the Huddle on the Odyssey app. And a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I'm around.
All right. Thanks so much.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, ofoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease. Plus, it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
Selling smoothies is what I do, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. He's a small business owner too, so he knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Jason, thanks, buddy. Glad you got to have you on. We'll come back shortly for part two of the Sports Injury Central podcast with the rundown in a minute here. All right. Welcome back to part two of this week's Sports Injury Central Pro Football Doc podcast. Great to have Jason LaConfora on. Obviously, I did that from the house. This is at the office now. I wanted to ask him, but I didn't want to put him on the spot. Is he happier now that he doesn't have to do all this, oh my God, national stuff? I mean, that's a beast of a job. And just focus more on what he wants to do. But it's good to catch up with him. We've always traded messages and DMs and whatever over the years, but never, that's the first time I've actually had a conversation with him. So anyway.
He seems to love the Baltimore market too, which is really good.
Of course he does. Yeah, it's good for him. Yeah. So, I think once you're an NFL insider, you forget he's really a local reporter at heart. I mean, Schefter started with the Denver Broncos.
Right.
Ian Rappaport started with Alabama and then even did the Patriots beat for a little bit, right? They're all beat reporters.
They all have a little home, yeah.
Yeah. Right. All good. All right, where do you want to go this week? We got lots to talk about.
I wanted to talk about a couple football stuff that you guys touched on last time. So we did a little sick picks and draft stuff on Latu. What are your take that he was the first defensive player taken, even though we didn't, you know, think that as much here?
Dallas Turner got taken at 17, right? So it was coming. Now, would have Minnesota have taken Latu at 17? Don't know, right? Don't know. Maybe, or maybe they were like, we better grab Dallas Turner since that's the next one to go here. I look at it this way. I saw the video from Chris Ballard, and if I'm paraphrasing, he said he was laughing and celebrating. I can't believe it. We got the best effing pass rusher in the draft.
Which may be true, right? Yeah.
I'm not a talent evaluator, but from what we're saying, that is true.
Right.
He's cleared to play football today. He's 100% fine today. He, by all intents and purposes, is the best pass rusher in the NFL. What's left out is, were the Colts team doctors, having examined Latu and his imaging, not as worried about Latu as we were? It's possible. Were they worried about Latu and Chris Ballard didn't care? He's trying to win now with Latu.
Right. Possibly. I'm not saying it's a bad pick. And quite honestly, this is like betting the under. Like, you're just sweating it out the whole time. Like, Latu may have a great rookie year. And you're like, ah, shoot. But you got to wait till the end of the game to see, you know what I mean? The total, I guess, you know? Like, in the end, what we're saying is he's more risk than the next guy. If you're trying to win now, maybe he's worth the roll of the dice. But his career is going to end with his next neck injury. I hope it doesn't happen for 5 years or more. I hope we're proven wrong. I don't wish injury on the guy, but I'm just saying the reality, given the Leighton Van Der Esch analogy, Latu already has one strike. And the second strike with neck surgery fusion is going to mean he's out of the league. Van Der Esch came into the league with neck issues, but no first fusion surgery. He had one, returned to play, had a second, now done. Mm. We'll see. This may be a great pick for Chris Ballard and the Colts. Sounds like he's thrilled with it. I'm just curious behind it. I would be shocked if the Colts doctors said, I have zero issue with his neck whatsoever. They may say, I have zero issue with his neck today. And that's what Chris heard. But long term, they're good doctors in Indianapolis. They know the jig. And I've been there before where I've said stuff to the GM, and the GM has said, no, I'm still going this way because this guy's just that good or something. And you go with it. So it's not a criticism at all of the Colts medical staff. But, yeah, that's why it's interesting in its draft. We did say, I didn't think, I mean, obviously I missed it, that Jason LaCanfora kind of quietly opined that it might be Penix, but clearly the Falcons had no issue with knees to take him at 8. And that's what we've been saying on Penix. But I think that's an interesting story. And his takeaway, I like that there may be a reunion with Kyle Shanahan and Kirk Cousins yet.
I like that as well. Yeah.
I really, really like that. I saw also something interesting from Mike Silver. Love Mike. We've had him on here before. And he was saying that there's some documentary like The Last Dance for the Bulls, for the 49ers. But I'm like, wait a minute. The Last Dance was because they were winning multiple championships.
Right.
It's really The Last Dance. But he seemed to imply that there was something special about this year, the documentary style. But they're all in for this year. And if not, and maybe he's referring to they got to, you know, pay Brock Purdy or not pay Brock Purdy next. So all this Last Dance, this is their last year of this huge salary cap advantage. You know, I don't know.
Right.
He's always on top of things. I thought that was interesting.
I wanted to ask you a question, Doc, just from a player and like coach's perspective. So Cousins has the Achilles injury. So there's going to be a couple weeks, maybe a month in training camp where you just see Penix. And what if they see Penix like, you know, looking really well and like they like what they see? Is that something that's going to be weird in the quarterback room with Cousins there as well? You know, he doesn't need to show off. You know what you have in him. Because there's going to be at least a couple weeks here where it's just Penix throwing to everybody, right? And it's going to
– No, I don't know that.
We're going to see that,
I don't know if that's the case. But you're going to see Michael Penix anyways.
Right? Yeah. They're going to
– The players will see him. Okay, let's go back. And I'm not saying it's a parallel situation. But we talked about this before. I am not a big believer in anointing young guys. I never anointed Jimmy G when he had success, right? I mean, I hold back. I thought the Chiefs were crazy when they moved on from Alex Smith, who was arguably a top 10 quarterback, or at least, you know, the bottom part of the top 10, doing very well. And they got rid of him for Patrick Mahomes. I'm like, you're going to get rid of him for a rookie that played game 17 and that's it. And you moved on from him. After two games of watching Patrick Mahomes, I was like, this cat is the real deal. And what I missed there is The Chiefs saw Mahomes in practice all year. They saw what he could do behind the scenes. It wasn't just that one Sunday. So whether Cousins is ready or not early in training camp, they're going to see plenty of Michael Penix regardless. And look, I think Cousins' Achilles is going to be fine. I mean, the guy doesn't run for a living. Okay. His arm isn't as strong. Look, have we forgotten that when Aaron Rodgers first tore his Achilles, the number one question when I went on McAfee, the number one question is, will he ever play football again? I'm like, 100% he would. Everyone's forgotten about Rodgers and his Achilles. It became Rodgers, could he play at the end of last season, right? And obviously it didn't happen. But no one's worried about Rodgers and his Achilles coming in this season. Yes, Kirk Cousins got hurt after that. Yes, it's a different side. Yes, different arm strength. He's not an explosive cornerback. He's a quarterback. Right. I don't see it as a huge deal. But if Penix proves to be the guy in practices, there will be murmurs and rumblings.
Right, yeah.
That's just an interesting situation. Interesting that they – you know,
created clearly, that themselves. Yeah.
Clearly, Kirk didn't love that. I mean, I thought it was really awkward, the press conference of, you know, what did he say? What did he do? Oh, we're not, I mean, it, you know, we're here to talk about the players of draft, and, you know, we have more than one running back. There's always competition, but Kirk was aware before the pick, and the contract speaks for itself. You know, and leave it. I don't know. I thought that was an interesting thing there. Anyways, what else you got here?
I had a couple more things. So the Houston Texans wide receiver dealt with a gunshot wound. They're saying minor. I don't have the exact where it is, so we can't comment as much as the Brian Robinson situation. But I would probably say the fractured fibula might be a little bit, recovery might be more concerning, right?
Well,
than the issue.
Here's what I would say about that. It's interesting. It brought up memories. First of all, let's say, you know what the definition of a minor gunshot wound is?
I do not know.
A gunshot wound that happened to someone else.
Okay. Right. I can say minor because, I've never been shot.
Exactly. But the bottom line is he was discharged from the hospital that day. So there weren't a lot of concerns. This is not who's the Washington running back?
Brian Robinson.
Yeah. Brian Robinson. Okay. And when I was a team physician for the Chargers, we had a player. I forget his name right now. DB, who got shot in a mall in Houston after we drafted him. Okay. And the call came to me to say, call around and figure out what he has and make sure he's okay. And I'd be calling down to the ER and this, that, the other, trying to reach the kid and figure it out for the team. So that's just another part of the team physician's job. Now, obviously, they got Tank Dell back in Houston to check him out with their own eyes. We did that with our player, too, not the day of, but in the next couple of days. And thankfully, it was, quote, minor as well. But, yeah, this is – another hidden aspect.
Was it Terrence Keel? Was it Terrence Keel?
Yes. Now that, I looked it's publicly available information.
Exactly. Yes.
So I'm not outing anything. But, I mean, it wasn't a secret. But anyways, I still think Tank Dell's ankle fracture dislocation blocking for a speedy guy is still probably the bigger concern than the gunshot wound. But like you said, we don't know where the gunshot wound was or is.
Right. Small piece of roster news I wanted to mention. Mekhi Becton was signed with the Eagles today or yesterday, 1 year contract. He's going to be the new swing tackle. Do you still have any issues with his knee? He did play 16 games last year, first time he's done that. He obviously had the knee issues on both sides.
Well, I mean, one thing is in the NFL is you don't let good players go. So,
right.
No, I don't think his knee is 100%. Is a swing tackle job better for him? And to be part-time, sure. He's going to have to prove it now on a one-year deal. And I wish him the best. I mean, his career with the Jets, I know Jets fans don't like him at all, but, you know, he had legit injury issues with his knee.
All right, so Doc, let's hop into NBA. There's a lot going on, right? The playoffs are going on, a lot of injuries. I have a lot going on here, so I'll just list the names and you tell me what's going on with them. So the first issue, this is a whole Bucks thing, is Dame Lillard. They both, he missed the game last with a left Achilles injury, something he's re-aggravated. What are your thoughts on him going in the series? They're down 3-1. And this ties in with also Giannis with his calf injury too. He hasn't played all series.
Look, the good news about Dame Lillard's injury is it's not an Achilles tendon rupture, right? He kind of got kicked, stepped on. He got a flat tire, we used to call it when I was a kid.
Right.
You know, his shoe popped off, he was stepped on. It affected him because what? He's a speed, quickness guy. So It's a little Achilles tendonitis issue. That's not healing in 24 hours or 72 hours. And it's a re-aggravation. Giannis, because of his big frame, thought could potentially come back. The question was, late round one or round two was always our time frame. I'm not sure the Bucks last that long. I mean, if you look at if you took the later half of the season, I don't have the math in front of me. If you took their record in the later half of the season, I don't think they're the number three seed. I mean, they kind of limped in as it was. And I don't know. This may be the end of the Bucks with even if Giannis can play, which I don't think he will, and even if Lillard can play, and I don't think he will. It's a soft tissue injury. Doesn't happen. And part of it is I'm not calling anyone soft. It's just the game of basketball is hard at the highest levels in terms of quickness. But a soft tissue injury isn't going to go away just like that overnight. I thought Giannis could come back because he could change his game a little bit because he's big enough to get off shots and do something. Lillard, no. So I don't see at this point either one of them playing game five.
The next big injury I have here from the Clippers.
I get it's an elimination game, but let me ask you this question. Do Bucks fans and or Bucks players believe if they win this game to go 3-2 or 2-3, however you want it, instead of being eliminated, that they're now going on a run and winning down the road? I mean, I don't know that they do.
So next one, Doc, the next big injury for the Clippers, they just won last night to tie their series with the Mavericks 2-2, is the knee injury from Kawhi. He's had that, you know, ACL tear in the past. So he had a PRP injection early April. We alluded to on SixScore.com multiple articles in our NBA insights that we update constantly that issue was not going away and he was going to have a tough time playing the series. He did eventually play one game, did not play well. Missed the next game.
Well, I got to give Kawhi credit. I said on Marcellus Wiley's show, and he's a huge Clippers fan, that you know there's a chance that Kawhi wouldn't be back at all these playoffs, and he didn't want to hear it. Good on Kawhi. He came back and played some, lackluster, and he says he's not through his knee injury and it's still there. It's not going away. And I think the Clippers need to prepare for the rest of the playoffs without Kawhi. They probably already have. And anything they get out of Kawhi is extra. That's kind of where it's at least for these playoffs. That's just based on timing and recovery and so forth.
Next one is the Sixers. So they're down 3-1 to the Knicks. We had a big article and you explained very in-depthly, he's dealing with a Bell's palsy issue.
I mean, people worry that, is it a stroke? No, it's not a stroke. It's a viral infection. The Bell's palsy is irritating. It's behind him. The knee is still the bigger issue for Joel Embiid and the Sixers rather than the Bell's palsy. And I'm not sure they get through their series there either.
And the two injuries that happened in the play-in tournament that haven't played since, Jimmy Butler with his knee and Zion with his hamstring, do you expect either one of them to return? They're both, one's down 3-0 to the Thunder and one's down 2-1 to the Celtics.
Butler has a better chance than Zion, but at this point, Zion is a definite no. Butler, they got to go longer before he has a chance, and he might.
So before I go into baseball, I want to mention we're going to have a huge Sick Picks promo this week. Our NBA picks have done really well all year, especially the last couple months. We led a lot. We did very well in college basketball. So baseball, Doc, there's two rib injuries that happened. I want you to explain a little bit the difference. So big first baseman for the Red Sox, home run hitter, has a rib cartilage injury, while the Cubs outfielder is suffering from a rib fracture. What is the difference, and how would one stay out longer than the other?
Well, ribs in general are a big deal of baseball players because it's torque, oblique muscles. To hit a baseball, you got to have torque. And rib cartilage takes longer to heal. Rib fracture heals better. Rib fracture might be more painful in the early going, but it heals more quickly. Rib cartilage can last a lot longer and click and bother you. So my money's on the rib fracture, Bellinger coming back first. But they're both at least 15-day ILs.
And, yes, or any place, yeah.
I would think that Bellinger will
be longer.
Or 10-day. They're both 10-day, but Bellinger has a better chance to avoid 60-day. I hope they both do.
So the one that's actually on 15-day, Blake Snell, we wrote a big article about him at 64.com. This is his third time on IL with a left abductor. You explained why that's a big deal for him, right, as a lefty.
Lefty, that affects his stride, you know, his push off the adductor. Blake Snell was in San Diego, left Bill Blake Snell. Mm-hmm. Not a spring chicken, signed late. This is
March 18th,
a soft tissue injury. That's what you worry about. And if you try and pitch through, then maybe do you develop arm issues, right? And so smart to shut him down. But I think if I were the Giants and you said to me, this is 60 days and he comes back 100% for a great season, I'd say, take it. I mean, 15, I don't see how he gets over this in 15 days. Look, if he shuts it down for a week and then feels better from the injury, it's going to take him longer than a week to get back to pitching.
The ramp up, and yeah, so far, yeah.
So you're already looking at a month minimum. I think 60 days is in his future.
Future. All right, Doc, just to wrap this up, I a couple wanted some final thoughts from you. So did you saw Reggie Bush got his award back? Good for him, right? That's big, right?
My man, Reggie. I don't know if you know this. Reggie Bush, we do something out here called San Diego Sports Medicine Foundation, some free work on kids in high school and whatever that don't have insurance. I can say this because we've talked about it. I've talked to Reggie about it. Reggie was a patient with us that got some free care when he's here in high school. Love Reggie Bush. Great guy. I still see him now and again in San Diego. Glad he got the Heisman back. A wrong was righted. Good deal. Hey, good on Johnny Manziel and the others for forcing the issue. Good on the Heisman Trophy people to say, look, let's just turn the page on this and move on. I think that was pretty good there.
And next is the Guardian Caps. They're allowed into the regular season now. What are your thoughts on that?
Be surprised if anyone wears them.
You don't see it happening.
I don't. And then, I don't see anyone wearing it. I'm not discouraging anyone, but you know, there's the other thing is the Guardian Caps. Okay, great. They provide pressure and padding, but part of it is that you want the Guardian Caps make your head bigger. So there's almost more contact, right?
Right.
And getting through holes. But also there's the torque issue. Like the Guardian Caps aren't as slick as the helmets where two round surfaces can slide off each other and make it more of a glancing blow. Now, I get they have some training camp data that it's better, but I don't know. I think it'd be interesting if I'd be surprised if we see them up and down the line here, but it's legal now. So good for that.
In the Beast of the Week, Doc, is it the commissioner or is it J.C. Latham with the big bear hug he gave him just after Kamish had back surgery recently?
Well, you know, what about the Timberwolves coach?
Yes, true. That was my next one, yeah.
Well, first of all, he's going to have surgery, and I'd be surprised if he's not on the sidelines for the next series. Not walking around. I don't know if it's a walker and a knee immobilizer or a wheelchair, but it's basketball. You got to be down there. He'll be down there somewhere, somehow. Maybe in the corner instead of on the bench with his legs sticking out kind of thing. I think he's back. I heard some people give him grief, like, you can't finish coaching the game. Well, he did tear his patella tendon. My big takeaway from that is, first of all, block or charge, right? I mean, that seemed like a charge. So, second of all, I just want to tell people this. If you go look at the video, you don't think there's a lot there, okay? First of all, I think his mistake was moving. If he just stays still, I think Mike Conley can maybe get around him because he moved at the last second. But the big thing to take away from this is you don't understand at what a high level these guys play at. That bumping into didn't seem like a whole lot, yet the man tore his patella tendon. That that's what happens when you're 54 instead of 25, you know. And
so let you bring the age into it. Yeah.
Well, you know, 54 is young, right? The definition of young is younger than you, and old is older than you, right? So to me, he's young, but 54 is old. I mean, what it tells you is what these guys go through, right? And here is a coach seems relatively innocuous, and he tears his patella tendon, right? So he'll be back, and then maybe we'll give him the beast. As far as J.C. Latham and the commissioner, in some ways, I need an extra piece of information to know who's the beast of the week there. Depending on the back surgery, the commissioner was there. Good on him. Maybe he's a beast. And he seemed to get fewer boos this year, right? I think. But anyways, but the beast would be J.C. Latham if he got excited in the moment and forgot about the commissioner and wanted to give him the whole bear hug, I'd say that's good on him. But if he knew that the commissioner had a thing and he says he's on the field, he's getting the bear hug, I don't care. I'm giving it to J.C. Latham. He's the piece of hey, you're in the game. You're fair game, you know. If he just got lost in the emotions, I'd say, you know, forgive. But that'd be a beast maneuver to say, the commissioner's out there, so it's fair game, and I'm going to give him a hug.
Mentality thing.
Or it looked like a chiropractor trying to crack his back, didn't it? I mean, no, it's all good fun. Respect to J.C. Latham and the commissioner. All right. Thanks for listening and watching Pro Football Doc Sports Injury Central podcast. And thanks to Jason LaConfora. And more this week, lots of different sports and things. And thanks for watching.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on.
Crunch Island. It's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Selling smoothies is what I do, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. He's a small business owner, too, so he knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.